It's a Midnight Radio Network all across the USA, 800-288-9227. Welcome and good morning. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
All right, it is Ask the Law Hour 2. If you want to get on board, we have an open line for you right now at 800-288-9227. I want to thank R.J. Taylor and Old Blue USA. Talked to R.J. during the break, and they are gearing up for the big Great American Trucking Show August 20th through the 22nd. Trooper Dial will be there, RJ will be there, and they'll be doing their hourly logbook and inspection presentations. And, you know, they couldn't do it without our friends from Truck Riders North America. They made a generous contribution, and they're making all of this possible, so we want to thank them. And, again, you can go to safetytour.org to find out more about other Old Blue USA events. We want to remind you that the information you hear on today's program is up to date as of August 3rd, 2009. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial considered to be opinions only. Trying to get you as much information, drivers, as we can from experts. And retired senior trooper Monty Dial from the Texas Highway Patrol here to answer your questions. He's here for the rest of this hour. 800-288-9227. 68683 is the text number if you want to send us a text. 68683. Make sure you put MRN as the first word. We have some text questions that have come in.
Yeah, and they'll be coming up here in a little bit.
Yeah, so stand by for those. And if you want to send one, we'll take that from you as well.
We didn't forget about you folks out there texting, so hang on. Yours coming up here just in a little bit.
Absolutely. 800-288-9227. Let's go to the phone.
Let's go to Joel on I-20. Joel, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law. Hi, Joel.
How you doing?
Good.
I got a question for the trooper. I drive from Abilene to north of Shreveport once a week and drive home the weekends. I drive a truck and a regular automobile. Do the idling laws apply to me as well if I pull over and take a nap?
It's a good question.
Wow.
The bill dealing with the anti-idling was for commercial trucks only.
Mm.
They were the ones that were granted the exemption a couple of years ago while you were obtaining the required rest under the DOT regulations.
Because the five-minute rule was not new in Texas. It just had an exception that said you could extend that as long as you were in the sleeper getting your required rest.
Correct. And my understanding is the bill deals with commercial vehicles only.
Hmm.
So if you're in a passenger vehicle, the rules do not apply because the EPA rules on them doesn't even compare to the exhaust on a truck.
This brings something up, and I think this is a really good question, and I appreciate you bringing it to the program here, Joel, because I was jogging through my neighborhood about a month ago, and one of my neighbors was having like a mattress or something delivered, and that truck was out there, and it was a smaller truck, but it was I think probably a class 6 or 7 truck that was the furniture delivery type truck, box truck, and it was idling for it was at least 25 minutes that I know of.
Yeah.
So because I was making my rounds while I was jogging in that area, are they going to
they shouldn't have been able to idle anyway.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting.
Because deliveries once the vehicle backs up to a dock, pulls up to a customer, 5 minutes, and he has to shut it off.
That's right, because that exception was only for getting rest.
Mandatory rest.
And that was a day cab, so there would not apply. Wow. Joel, thank you so much. We do appreciate your question, and we'll take more at 800-288-9227. We wanted to clarify something, or at least expand on something. Last hour, we had John call in, and he said, all right, a buddy of mine had his brakes checked in this electronic brake system. The officer, it appears, hooked maybe some piece of equipment up to that braking system and wrote that driver a
citation for defective brakes.
For defective brakes based on the information that officer obtained from this piece of equipment.
Here's what you need to do, John, if you're still listening. If the vehicle is a Ford Super Duty, and I'm not sure if it is a 2006 or 2008 or 2007 year model, when Ford integrated the electronic brake box into the truck. They came up with the design to where the truck had to sense that a trailer was on the back, so that whenever the driver stepped on the brake, it would sense the trailer pushing the brake, and as a result, it would send the signal to the brakes on the trailer. So if the vehicle is sitting still and he plugs the device into the electric connection, and if the vehicle is not moving when the driver steps on the brake, it's not going to send a signal to the brakes on the trailer because it's not moving. So you might want to take and look and see if it's the Ford Super Duty, and it's either 2006 or 2007 year model, and go down and visit with your Ford dealer, and he can explain it all to you. But like I say, my understanding is the vehicle has to be moving when the driver steps on the brake to send the signal to the brakes on the trailer.
All right. It's something to consider there because, you know, with all the new electronics and everything else, I mean, it's just as I mentioned during that call, it's hard to see where if there is some kind of flaw.
Yes.
Or some kind of problem with any of the mechanism, you know, from point A to point B, it's hard to tell where that is. Even your mechanic is going to have trouble.
Yes.
Which is why they have so much billing time under my cars. 800-288-9227. Thank you so much. Let's get to some text messages that we have here. 68683.
Here's one. Do trucks carrying hazmat have to stop for industrial spur rail lines? I currently stop, but colleagues tell me I don't have to. And that comes from Mike.
Mike, if the I'm trying to remember if the vehicle or if the railroad crossing only has the crossbucks and you're hauling hazardous material, you have to stop.
Okay.
If it has the arms that go down, I believe you don't have to stop.
Okay.
I'll check in. Sure, because it's in 397 is
okay.
where we're going to find that.
All right. And just to be on the safe side, stop at every one.
Yes.
Until you know differently. But we'll check during the break and see if we can get a definitive answer for you. Coming up here in just a few minutes as well. 800-288-9227. We'll take more of your calls. Also, your maintenance tip brought to you this hour by Progressive Insurance. We welcome them as a new sponsor, Progressive Insurance. 800-288-9227. We're back in a moment. It is Ask the Law. Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, is here courtesy of Old Blue USA. And more of your calls and comments coming up
on the Midnight Radio Network. Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara, Eric Hurley.
And retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here courtesy of Old Blue USA. All the questions and answers are up to date as of Monday, August 3rd, 2009. Comments other than those of Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. And make sure you're there at the big Great American Trucking Show coming up August 20th through the 22nd in Dallas. And the entire Old Blue USA team will be there with their hourly logbook and vehicle inspection presentations absolutely free. And we want to thank Truck Riders North America for kicking in some cash to make all of this possible. Let's go to the phones at 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Jack on I-30. Jack, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi.
Yes. Hey, I wanted to know if it was illegal to carry a handgun in a commercial vehicle.
Well, there's that question again.
No, Jack, it's not, provided that you have a concealed handgun permit.
Okay. Well,
and we'll tell you that Congress came very close last week to making reciprocity, or about a week and a half ago, legal in all states. It lost by a few votes, but it was very, very close.
Now, you would have to be legal, Trooper Dial, within that particular state.
Right.
So whatever the laws state in the state that you're in, really are the ones you have to abide by. Is that right?
First off, the federal bill that Mr. Thune,
I guess,
was trying to get past was not going to affect any reciprocity, any whatsoever. Because if you go through there and start reading the bill, even in, let me use an example, two states. You have a concealed handgun and permit in Texas. You go into Oklahoma. Oklahoma has reciprocity with Texas. When I go into Oklahoma, I fall under Oklahoma rules, even though my concealed handgun permit is from Texas. Texas and Oklahoma has reciprocity.
Right.
And when you go through there and read Mr. Thune's bill, it always goes back and says you fall under the regulations of the state that you're in.
Okay.
And they will not, they cannot force a state to grant reciprocity. If reciprocity is not issued, as an example, California does not issue a handgun permit.
Right.
This federal bill that they were going to pass cannot make, cannot force the state of California to recognize a concealed handgun permit from another state.
Right.
So you're saying states' rights then would not have been affected unless they went to court on it somehow, but you're saying the bill was written where it wouldn't affect it.
Correct.
So the bill was total imagery and symbolism.
Correct. Interesting. Now, what if, now if he doesn't have a conceal and carry permit, is there any lawful way to carry a handgun in a commercial motor vehicle? Jack, are you still on there?
Yes.
Where all do you travel?
Mostly Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas.
Texas passed a bill in the last legislative session that basically says you do not need a concealed handgun permit to carry a handgun in your vehicle with you.
Okay.
Provided that, one, you keep the vehicle, you know, keep the weapon in the vehicle, it's not visible, and you are not involved in any type of criminal activity. Then in Texas, you can stick the gun as long as it can't be seen, and there's nothing that prohibits you from doing that. Now, if you go into another state and you do not have a concealed handgun permit, I would make sure that I unload it and lock it up.
Okay, and the
point is, and we have dealt with this, I don't know, probably, gosh, for years
three
that we've
times,
been here.
Three times since you were when, since when you were gone.
Okay.
So three times,
and that question comes up. But the point is, there is nothing in the FMCSA handbook that deals with handgun regulations.
No.
You have to deal with whatever the state laws are, that state that you're traveling in at that moment.
Correct.
Okay. All right, so there's what you should know. And that's a common misnomer.
Yes.
A lot of drivers said that there was, you know, it's illegal. It may be against company policy.
Yes.
And it may be illegal in that particular state, but there is nothing in the FMCSA handbook that deals with handguns.
You can read the green book from cover to cover, and you're not going to find anything in there.
Yeah, and I have one, the latest quarterly edition, right here in my hands, courtesy of J.J. Keller and Associates, and there it is.
Guys, you could have the Bible in front of you right now, and we'd still be getting calls from drivers saying, no, you guys are wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Because we've been over this a thousand times and still get emails. You guys don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
It's illegal. It's in there somewhere, and it's like, it's not.
It's not there.
So. Quickly got this question here. The text was, Monty, what about diesel-powered reefer units as far as idling?
That is one of the exemptions. If the vehicle or if the reefer is used to keep the commodity cool,
right,
then that does not apply. Like I say, this is idling of the tractor.
Mm. All right, so the produce lives and the driver dies.
Right. As long as we got the lettuce, we're fine. That's all that matters.
Wow. I didn't expect you to answer that, Monty.
And, of course,
I like the disclaimer. Anything it said besides Monty is opinion.
Right. Right. And PETA, of course, you can't have a lizard in there without air, but the driver can certainly go without air. We all know.
Wow. If you have a dog.
Yeah, if you have a dog, don't you dare leave that dog in the truck without air. Don't you dare. All right. We'll get back here in just a few minutes.
Brian, hang on. We'll get to your call and more coming up here.
And if you want to get on board, we have an open line for you at 800-288-9227. By the way, drivers, we do this every month, every first Monday, Old Blue USA and Ask the Law right here on the program. So we're back in a moment. Stand by.
On the Midnight Radio Network. Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial is here to answer your questions, courtesy of Old Blue USA. The information you hear up to date as of August 3rd, 2009 can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial on the program are considered to be opinions only. August 20th through the 22nd, Old Blue USA will be right there along with Trooper Dial, answering your questions during free hourly logbook and vehicle inspection presentations. And we want to thank the Truck Writers of North America for making that possible, and the folks there at the Great American Trucking Show. That's Dallas, the Dallas Convention Center, August 20th through the 22nd. We'll be out there. Lots going on during those 3 days, and we'll see you there. 800-288-9227. Let's get back to your calls.
Let's go to Brian. Brian, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on with Trooper Dial. Welcome. Hi.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hi.
Do we have a good connection?
Yes, we do. Go right ahead.
Okay. Yes, I wanted to ask you if you could please re-verify when the No Idling Law takes in effect, and when it does, will local city police agencies in the county that the driver's in write the citations, or will it be like DOT, Texas Department of Public Safety officers? And what extent will the fines vary from? Will it be like a minimum and a maximum fine? And will we see other states following Texas like they're doing, like on the no texting and driving while we're on our cell phones?
Yeah.
And will soccer moms, you know, that drive big SUVs, will that also classify them, you know, for no idling also?
It will be limited to commercial motor vehicles, and we thank you for the call. We'll try and answer all of those. First of all, Texas is not following is following the lead of other states.
Yes.
Other states that had stricter anti-idling laws in place. But it's a good question. Going back to the enforcement, there will be enforcement on just about every level, whether or not municipalities and states.
Yes, this is state law, and anybody, you know, any law enforcement, Texas has their own state version of the EPA, and that's called TECQ, Texas
Environmental control of quality.
Yeah, something like that.
Making it up.
I know it's TECQ.
An agency that has the,
right.
that does environmental.
And, so,
control.
You know, I don't know if they're going to jump on and start enforcing it or not, but yes, local police departments, sheriff's offices, they can all enforce Texas state law.
All right.
As far as the texting, it applies to everybody. It just so happened it came out with the trucks, but that state bill affects all modes of transportation.
Mm. So it doesn't matter who's behind what wheel,
right?
That will be enforced on during statewide.
Yes.
In all of the school zones. It's the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, TCEQ.
Yes.
Well, good for them. You know, I had no idea that we had such an agency.
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess I assumed in the back of my mind that we did, just as every state. Again, those anti-idling laws take in the state of Texas take effect September 1st, 2009,
yes.
And the limit is 5 minutes.
Yes.
Wow. You know, it gets even tighter than that in certain states and cities. You know, New York City is 3 minutes. With the exception of sitting in traffic, when you pull up.
Yeah, the same would apply here. If, you know, if you're in traffic, stuck in traffic, obviously, you know, you have to be able to move once traffic opens up.
Yeah.
So the idling doesn't kick in there.
Yeah.
It does, like if go into a truck stop, roadside park, pull into a shipper's dock or a receiver dock, 5 minutes, you better shut it off.
Yeah.
Got another text here, and we get this every once in a while, this one, but a lot of questions we get are repeats over the years.
Sure.
But this one, with the tough economy and everything else, this is something that drivers, company drivers especially, experience. I quit a company that requires its drivers to run illegal. They have a general manager and president that push their drivers to drive illegally. And I guess, you know, he doesn't have a question as much as a statement that he quit. But the fact is, I have a feeling that he would like to do something about it.
Well, I think it we could at least say this, that if the advice to any driver would be that you're responsible behind that wheel.
Yes.
That that's when the enforcement comes, it comes at that level. It starts right there at the roadside, and the driver behind the wheel of that vehicle at the time is first going to be the first person held responsible for any violations.
Right. What a driver can do is, if they can get on the internet, go to FMCSA's webpage, and once they scroll down about two thirds of the way down, there's a place that they an icon that they can click on that will take them over where they can actually file a complaint with FMCSA about what all's going on.
Yeah. You know, and this is the one thing, and this comment, you know, is an opinion of mine, by the way, and not that of Trooper Dials. And this is one thing that will be remedied if electronic onboard recorders are mandatory. You won't be able to have these companies that will, you know, be pushing these drivers beyond limits. What we know about electronic onboard recorders, they'll be GPS enabled. The truck will not be able to lie. I still have some flexibility concerns with if a driver needs to, you know, I mean, if a driver has to relocate or if there's some kind of inclement weather or something, that driver has to move that truck a few feet. I have some concerns there, but when it comes to the broad, ramifications with electronic onboard recorders, companies simply will not be able to push drivers beyond the legal limits, and everyone will be on the same page. There will be a kind of a level playing field, if you will, and that will be that. So that's kind of the comments. A lot of the comments you heard at Las Vegas, and the last show you guys were at with Old Blue USA,
correct. And to see another thing is there could be some law changes that would come about as a result of the switching over to the electronic onboard recorders.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot of drivers when I was at the Las Vegas truck show come, you know, saying, you know, well, I would like a little bit more flexibility for this and for that, where I don't get it, you know, when I have to fill a paper log out. I'm limited to 11 hours driving, 14 hours. If I go to a shipper, I have to sit there, and I'm at their mercy. Well, the thing is, when they go to this electronic onboard recorder, they may put some changes in that will ease the times that the driver spends, say, at a shipper. The driver wants to stop and take an hour or two power nap. You know, they could let the driver do that, and it would not count, you know, it may not count against his 14.
Okay, so I see what you're saying. What you're saying essentially is there may be some hours of service rule changes.
Yes.
If we're seeing such strict guidelines put forth in regards to having electronic onboard recorders, there may be an allowance for a rest break somewhere that would stop that 14-hour clock.
Yes.
Certainly we'll have to wait for such a rulemaking, but that could be the case where they're making an allowance knowing that the truck is not going to be able to lie.
Right.
The truck, you know, the driver can say what he or she wants to, but the truck is going to tell the truth as far as the operation is
That's
concerned.
That's very true.
So that'll be interesting to see. I would hope I would hope that the FMCSA would have such consideration, because if we have such a strict scenario where electronic onboard recorders are required for all trucks, that flexibility could come in handy. That may be something, a price that many drivers are willing to pay, knowing mm-hmm. that, you know, if I'm in Atlanta traffic and I know I can stop my 14-hour clock by pulling over to a rest area and then get through without traffic later, and I yes. can get my rest in now, at least a good nap in now,
mm-hmm.
That would be beneficial, I think, to everyone. It also could help ease congestion. We'll see what that rulemaking looks like if such a rulemaking comes along. All right, Ask the Law for Monday, August 3rd, 2009. Back in just a moment with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of Old Blue USA. And stand by, 800-288-9227 if you'd like to answer or ask a question. We do have time for another question, or you can send us a text at 68683.
It's the Midnight Radio Network. Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired
or retired
retreaded
not retreaded. There's not going to be any retreaded in there.
Retired senior trooper Monty Dial with us here on Ask the Law. Gary McNamara, Eric Carley.
And remember, the answers you heard on today's program are up to date as of August 3rd, 2009, can change without notice. And the statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered opinions only. August 20th through the 22nd, that is the big Great American Trucking Show. That's the next time we'll talk to you there.
Yes.
Trooper Dial. And make sure you're out there. Free hourly logbook and vehicle inspection presentations. The Great American Trucking Show at the Dallas Convention Center in downtown Dallas. Free truck parking and more. So make sure that you check it out. You can also go to safetytour.org to find out more about Old Blue USA events. And much more. We want to thank, again, Truck Writers of North America. When you're out and about, drivers, pick up their magazines, and you might even send those guys a nice thank you letter for making this type of programming and these types of events that you see at the Great American Trucking Show possible. Because, you know, it costs money, and someone's gotta help out. Old Blue USA is a nonprofit organization. And go to oldblueusa.org, safetytour.org. You can also go to askthelaw.org and click on the big red button that says Email Ask the Law. Send in your question there if you didn't get a question in this morning or any time between shows. We do this show every month, but any time between shows, you can go to askthelaw.org, Email Ask the Law. That's the big red button. Click on that and then follow the instructions. They'll get an answer as soon as possible. So we'll see you at the big Great American Trucking Show.
Yes.
And then the big September show coming up. And we'll again kind of go over any new laws that are in place as of September 1st. We talked about the ones in Texas. Anything else we hear about, we'll bring to you at that point. And have you retired recently? Have you done any fishing yet?
No, right now it's
you've been busy, haven't you?
Taking care of the dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Helping my son with the cattle,
mm-hmm.
and making sure supper's on the table for my wife.
There you go. That's always fun. I love cooking, especially during the summer, man. Just pull up that grill and get to go.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, great stuff here, Trooper Dial. We appreciate it. And for those who want more, again, go to askthelaw.org and see us at the Great American Trucking Show. We'll be out there as well. And again, I want to thank the folks at JJ Keller. While I was at the BarGen event just a few days ago, they handed me the updated FMCSA handbook. And I want to thank them for doing that. That was very generous of them, and they're great folks. So thank them. Old Blue USA, go to safetytour.org. That's the website to find out about more events from them. And we'll do it again next month
on the Midnight Radio Network.
Hello, this is...